I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane, I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, and Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Mad are you that Baron Corbin won King of the Ring?
Really, I'm not that mad. I just dreaded it because I knew it was going to happen. I guess I just accepted it before it happened, basically.
It was you. You're to the point of, I'm not even going to fight it. Fuck it.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, the dude has gotten a little better. I mean, he hadn't been just totally just horrible. At least he's changed the wardrobe up a little bit and got a little, looks like he's got a little bit better in the ring to me. I don't know about you, but it looks like he's, you know, not quite as clunky as he seemed to be before. So I don't know. I'm not as mad as that as I am at something else that happened on SmackDown tonight. But
what are you angry about that happened on SmackDown tonight?
Oh, you didn't see our friend Brock back on the scene.
You know, I was reading about it because I was doing the Brad and Britcast when that was all happening.
Right.
So I was not able to. But I was reading about it. He came up, and then they've signed Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE title for the very first SmackDown on Fox on October the 4th.
Well, that will be the date that Kofi Kingston loses the title.
Oh, is this your theory?
Yeah, I can't believe it would be otherwise. Why? If you're going to bring in new viewers to something like that, you're going to. I don't know. I think that that's purely for all the tweeners and people that know about WWE. They're going to have to start fresh with Brock Lesnar and not Kofi Kingston.
Well, let me drill down on that a little bit, because I think maybe your theory would be like the people who know Brock Lesnar from MMA and all that stuff, they would be the ones who would be in favor of seeing him win that championship, or at least Vince thinks that they would be in favor of that, and that's why he wants to put the belt on him. Is that your theory?
That's my theory, yeah.
A lot of the MMA guys really hated Brock Lesnar.
Well, and maybe not even just the MMA guys, just people in general who maybe, you know his name more so than a Kofi Kingston. You can kind of throw Brock Lesnar's name out a lot of different, just various, pick a place, you know, and somebody's going to know who he is, but you might have to go a few places before somebody will know who Kofi Kingston is.
He's way down on the list. If you were trying to tell somebody who the big stars of wrestling are, and most of them know John Cena, who's not even there anymore, they might know Roman Reigns. I don't think they're going to know anybody else.
That's about it, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Who are the big stars? And you're like, well, and I don't think anybody would know any of them. I mean, I think your theory is probably as good as anything, and that's going to be, well, again, you know, Vince is just throwing money after money right now, because he's going to have to probably get Brock to come back more often, I would think, because I don't think Fox. I think after a while, that's where you're going to get Eric Bischoff having to explain to the Fox executives, well, why hasn't Brock been on TV in like 4 weeks?
Yeah, explain that one.
And then, you know, October the 4th, we've talked about this before, Sweeps is coming up in November. That's going to be a big deal to those guys, because it is. It's their world. And if he becomes the champion, they're probably going to want him to be on television every Friday in November.
You would think.
So I don't know. I mean, your theory.
It's almost, to me, man, it's almost like AEW, the way they did with Jericho. Their very first champion, they want somebody that a lot of people know, name recognition, that sort of thing. And I think that's the kind of the deal they're going for here with SmackDown moving to a, you know, a network station like that.
So we've talked about October, I think, the 25th. That's going to be a World Series game, and they're going to have to preempt on that date, and I think they may be going over to FS1 for that. And then the next week would be November 1st, and Sweeps would be definitely on at that point. The show will air November 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. So they have one, two. They've got five shows. I think Sweeps.
Five.
Sweeps may be over before that 29th show, but they've solidly got four shows during Sweeps.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. That's four shows. I mean, that's going to be four shows almost out of the gate for them. That's going to have to be fairly hot.
The beauty of Friday night, of course, is that's the night that the NFL will not be running. So they won't, but they're not going to have an excuse either. You know?
No. I mean, Friday night is almost Saturday night, honestly. I mean, as far as TV programming is concerned.
I think it's the lowest night in viewership. I don't know if Saturday, they're both like Friday and Saturday night are 1-2. Sunday night used to always be number one for viewership because most people mm-hmm. were at home and getting ready for the work week and all that shit.
Right.
I think that's going to be very interesting. Do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the shit show? Was that Monday Night Raw was?
Well, did you really think it was a shit show? Was it?
Oh, I thought particularly the
whole thing. Really, you didn't see anything good about it.
Well, no, I saw the Mysterio match was really good with Cesaro. I thought,
yeah,
that
was good. That was kind of out of the blue in a way.
But, you know, that completely gets to me. Kind of well, and the Fiend stuff at the end obviously was very good.
Oh yeah, you saw that picture Schrock put up on Facebook,
that's,
right?
That's gonna be.
I
iconic
took that
one.
Same picture, yeah. Man. I did, and I erased it because mine had I snapped mine maybe a millisecond before or after his because there was a light that was glaring on Seth's face and it didn't look right, and I didn't snap but one shot, but it was the same exact shot, man. It was crazy, but yeah. But I thought that was good too. Yeah, definitely.
I mean that Maria Kanellis shit, that was ugh.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what, that was awful, and that whole Rusev thing that God, why don't you just bury him some more, you know?
But don't you like his new look?
I do like the look. But it was overshadowed by how he came in, how he came back to me. I was like, the look, I love the look. I love the stash, man. But is he really going to be a part of this bullshit? And I can see it now. You know, at some point, Lana will be back and her and Maria will. I know they can't really get too physical at this point, but I don't know. It's just all weird. It's just stupid.
How do you book, if you're going to, I'm going to give you the opportunity. You book Rusev. You book the new Rusev, and you put him into a spot you think that would be entertaining and would work for you.
I would, I kind of want something like the way he was in NXT. Back when he had a first name and all that shit.
Like when he was, he was sort of an MMA guy.
He was just a badass, one of those foreign badasses, you know, kind of like their.
To me, he needs a feud with Samoa Joe. That'd be a really good feud.
Oh, my God, yes.
That'd be very physical.
Yeah, perfect. That would
be kind of a way to recapture some of that magic from the Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe feud.
Yeah, come in being a badass. I mean, you know, taking out fucking castrated Mike Kanellis at this point is not proving anything to anybody to me,
wow,
you know.
That is the term beta cuck. The idea that they were able, you know, that some writer was jacking off for 30 minutes straight because they were able to use the beta cuck line on television. That's the greatest triumph that a writer has had on that show in a long time. I just feel like a lot of that bullshit to me is evidence that Paul Heyman is not having a lot of control over that show and that Vince is getting his bullshit in, because that whole gender reveal thing feels really a lot like something Vince would have just loved.
I found that hard to believe that was a Heyman thing too, but you know, I don't know him as well as I guess other people do, so I didn't know if that was part of his little bag of shticks. You know, I didn't know. I really didn't. But from what I have seen and know what he does, that had nothing. It didn't resemble that at all.
It feels so like the stuff with the Fiend has been kind of handed to him, and he's kind of trying to bring that to another level.
Yeah.
That stuff
working,
I can,
that's working, yeah.
I can totally see that, and to have the Fiend at the beginning and then at the end of the show, that makes total sense.
And all the Firefly Funhouse segments, you know, like I was like little snippets from it. I thought that was cool. You know, they didn't spend 5 minutes in there each time or anything, you know.
I was watching something at the gym today and something came on TV. It was like a kid's show. I thought, oh, geez, that looks like the fire. It looks like the beginning of that show, the way that they do it and everything. It's so
We've got a friendship that'll never, ever end.
Do you like that as his entrance music when they start playing that? That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And, it freaked me out at first too. I don't know if you caught this, when they first showed the video, the graphics for stuff coming up. This is right at the beginning of Raw, like right after the whole Fiend thing at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. And they were showing up matches coming up and the whole, every graphic that came up was upside down.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you see anything about that?
What was that about? Do you, anybody know what that was about?
I guess it had to do with, I don't know, man. It was really, nobody really ever explained it. Renee made a comment about it.
I think that's why that lets you know that it wasn't a mistake. I mean, it was supposed to be part of the show somehow because I don't think they would have had her say anything about it otherwise.
But nobody said anything. If you listen after that, nobody said a word. It's like, it's like somebody said, shut up, Renee.
It was kind of like, she said something like, has that been upside down the whole time?
Yeah. And it was all like matter of fact-ish. It's almost like she didn't know her mic was on kind of thing. So, and that's the way it sounded. I mean, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just really weird, but nobody ever said anything about it after that at all.
So the timetable is September the 18th for the debut of NXT on USA. It's tomorrow night as we record this. And then October the 4th is that first show on Fox. October the 6th is going to be Hell in a Cell. And then we're off to the races because the draft is October the 11th starting on SmackDown and then October the 14th on Raw. And we're, you know, off we go. We continue onward and upward.
Yep. It's going to be, it's going to be kind of fun, I think. I always like the drafts anyway, even though the last one didn't mean shit. But, I knowing this one is probably going to be a hard left or hard right. You know, you're either on SmackDown or on, no mixing and matching here. You know, it's solid on one pretty much.
Was it the October 4th show was going to be the big 20th anniversary celebration of SmackDown?
Was it? Is it?
I think it was, yeah, because even though the actual celebration should have happened like in the spring, but they've decided to go ahead and it's been 20 years.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I thought we'd already done that, but okay,
no,
whatever works.
We did a Raw reunion, and we did the 1,000th episode of Raw, and then we did the 1,000th episode of SmackDown, and then, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, the episodes, maybe not the, whatever. Just quit patting yourselves on the back.
Well, they have to do that. They have to completely do that. Oh, we know, by the way, we do know that Alexa is a full-fledged babyface, and how do we know that?
Okay. I'm missing.
Because Corey is over her and he's not trying to lick her butthole.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even pay attention to that. But yeah, you're absolutely right on that.
So that's how we know. So the actual. They're doing the SmackDown anniversary October the 4th.
Okay. I'm totally missed out on that one.
And that is at the Staples Center.
Oh, yeah. Got to be in Hollywood for that.
Let me see. Let me see what the tickets look for. Oh, they got them already available in October the 12th. I wonder where the tickets are for there. Anyway. And then they've got the Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar match, which is already set. So, yeah, we know that Alexa is now a full-fledged babyface, which seems odd and strange.
It was a little weird. It was very subtle, I thought.
Yeah, it was odd.
It's like one week they were heels, and the next week they were... I mean, she kind of, you know, when she was coming out with Nikki doing that Moment of Bliss thing, you know, she kind of seemed a little heelish, but a little baby face. You know, it was almost in between. And all of a sudden, she's just, whoop, she's a baby face.
And I think we already got Sasha versus the Man in the cage. Is that one of them from Hell in a Cell?
I believe so, yes.
There you go.
Looks good on paper.
Oh, WrestlingNews.co says apparently there is still real-life heat between Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss. Well, let's click on that, clickbait.
What was that? What was this going back to NXT? I'm not sure if I remember this.
It's no secret that there's been heat between Bliss and Banks for several years, and it dates back to their time in NXT. Good call, Brian.
Oh, okay.
This week on Raw, Banks and Bayley wrestled women's tag team champions Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, and at one point during the match, it looked like Banks might have taken a cheap shot at Bliss in the corner. I didn't know that. A fan on Twitter posted a clip of Banks' kick, and it was retweeted by Nia Jax, apparently agreeing with the fan, who said that Banks got a cheap shot in on Bliss for no reason. For those of you unaware of their history, click here for more on the heat between Banks and Bliss. All right, I'll clickbait on that one. Peter Rosenberg, the Jewish Sam Roberts, interviewed Sasha Banks this week for Complex.com. This is from August 22nd of last year. Rosenberg brought up rumors about real-life heat with her and Alexa Bliss. I have people I don't like, Banks said when she was asked about certain relationships in the locker room. She added, I think I'm really good at what I do. Not really, Banks said, if she wanted to work more with Bliss. I think if they want to have me wrestle Alexa, they can do that because I can do my job very well. Banks said no one asked if there was more of a story to tell on camera with Bliss. She also said that she would be more than happy to wrestle Ronda Rousey, and she has nothing bad to say about her. The feeling is mutual, because Bliss said the following about Banks last year when asked if there was real-life heat between them. The way I see it, Sasha can think or say whatever she wants. As long as it fuels her fire for us to have a good match, I'm fine with it. The rumor is their heat started way back in 2014 when they were in NXT. They wrestled each other on an episode of NXT, and Bliss ended up with a busted nose. Oh, my God. If I would have seen that match, I would have cried. I got to go back and look at that in the archives.
How dare you touch Lexi? God damn it.
They wrestled again in March 2015, and some fans in attendance noticed that they were extra stiff with each other. Once again, Bliss came out of the match with a busted nose. There was also the time Banks clocked Bliss on SmackDown Live during a brawl segment. There was also a 2016 interview where Banks put over the women in NXT that helped her. She mentioned people by name but chose not to mention Bliss. How about that? Did you see? Now, you've seen the photo of the guy that was trying to touch Sasha's ass in Charlotte?
Yeah.
It's bizarre, right?
Is she really going to sue, or is that a word?
It doesn't feel to me that she would be able to... successful first, in that kind of lawsuit.
A little tough, I thought, but I don't think
he actually, and I'm not, again, you know, I don't want to get me too'd. I'm not condoning what the guy did. I don't think he was actually able to touch her.
Right.
Which,
right.
If he was, that technically, I think, could constitute sexual assault.
Guys
that do that should be prosecuted. I think he was able to touch her on the arm afterwards.
Okay, I didn't know that even. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that would go into that. I don't see the authorities in Mecklenburg County being particularly aggressive about this or whatever.
Yeah.
The DA's office is a political thing, and they might see a chance to score some points or whatever. I'd like to see the guy, you know, shamed to the point where he cries for mommy. That would be kind of nice.
That would be kind of good.
It was an unbelievable dick move.
Yeah. Way to put the black eye on Charlotte there, dickwad.
Well, it's a terrible town. It's full of really awful people. I mean, it's not in the Philadelphia stratosphere.
Oh, places, yeah, don't get me wrong.
But it's a dreadful place. It really is. And
it always has been, as far as I'm concerned.
If you go down to Charlotte and you visit it for any length of time, it takes you a week and a half to get the stench of that place off of you. I mean, you have to put your...
It usually takes a week and a half to get the hell out of there on any interstate.
It does normally, yeah, easily. I mean, if you kind of have to bleach your clothes a couple of times. It really is a dreadful place, full of very bad people. I remember many years ago, I don't want to say seven years ago, like they were opening up that stupid ass golf course. I think there's a Trump golf course down there.
Oh yes.
And I think Don Jr. was down there, and those people jacked off over him like he was a real star. And I'm like, you guys do is talk about world class city and all this shit, and then this asshole who wasn't even like a major asshole, this guy was dug out of his dad's ass, and you guys act like he fucking turned, you know, the water into wine at some wedding. What is wrong with you people?
Piece of crap that dude is.
And then, as Charlotte began to gain more stature in the world and become a bigger city, NFL city, and all this other shit, and you were like, John Boy Billy's still popular here? How can you guys?
Yeah, of course. Well, of course they are.
What the fuck is that? I mean, you guys are trying to be this, like, again, 21st century progressive city, and the fucking hee-haw show, the booger-eating show, is like the number one show on the radio here?
I know.
And then I got a chance to work there, and it was even worse.
Lucky you. Just... Yeah, I was told at a young age by my, I'll put my mom out there. My mom told me that people in Charlotte always thought they were better than everybody else.
You know, your mom gave you some spectacular advice.
And this is way back when, man. This is a long time ago.
It's always, things, you know, I've always heard that, like, the people who are in upstate New York feel the same way about New York City. They just wish it would drop off the fucking map and just go right into the ocean.
I feel them. I understand how that is. I can see that.
And it's just,
but see, Raleigh, I don't think that of Raleigh.
Raleigh's, you know, a great city. Raleigh's amazing. I mean, they're a little highfalutin, but whatever. But they're not.
Well, they've got their little patches here and there. Yeah, but as a whole, I'd go to Raleigh any day over Charlotte.
Charlotte's disgusting in so many ways, and I keep, you know, oh, that place is just. Ugh.
I think when you and Brad were down there, y'all just. Y'all brought the roaches out, man.
Oh, no doubt.
That we didn't even know about. I mean, they were there, but I think y'all brought more.
We were disinfecting everything, weren't we?
You were trying to. That's the thing. Y'all were trying to, but, man, you just got outnumbered.
It's true. We did get out. Oh, man, that town. That fucking town. Dude, there's so much I could tell you.
That's kind of why I wasn't disappointed you and I didn't go down to Clash of Champions.
But yeah, you were kind of like, I don't know. I was like, and that Spectrum Center, it's an awful place to go to and try to get to.
Oh, it's a horrible place to try to get to, man.
It almost hurts me. And that's why one of the reasons I'm so pissed off at Pat McCrory, more on him later, you know, because that's the last place in North Carolina that I saw Pearl Jam was in that fucking place.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I was going to see him in Raleigh.
Oh, in 2016, yeah.
And then Dickhead the Amazing, who happened to be the former mayor of fucking Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, him.
That's another thing. You know, we do a good job not electing mayors from that city most of the time, and then we do, and they're shit shows, especially the last one.
Oh, God.
Mr. Pecker Checker, he gets in there, wrecks the states, and I saw him again. He's on fucking Meet the Press. They keep booking him on Meet the Press. Is there like an
When was he on Meet the Press? When did I this past week?
Yeah, Sunday. Sunday morning. Oh, he's on fucking Meet. He's on their round table. Like, is there an asshole quotient you guys have to meet? And they're like, well, we're up to about an 8. We got to get to a 10 on the asshole thing. All right. Well, go ahead and call Pat. He's always good.
It had to have been that. I mean, who calls up the former governor of any state unless they're like some big fucking deal governor, you know, like
it also hurts my feelings.
I don't know, Jerry Brown or something.
All the good work that Ric Flair did to put Charlotte, North Carolina on the map, and then, you know, Pat McCrory ruins it.
Oh, God. Just now, in a hot second.
Was there a Ric Flair appearance on SmackDown tonight?
Brief one, yes.
Okay, so I'm assuming that all is well. We're not going to file a lawsuit, and that all of that stuff's been put aside.
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
I'm assuming that would not happen if he was really going to. I think cooler heads prevailed.
You would think.
I think that they got Paul on the phone, and Paul called him up and goes, "Hey, let's just talk you down. We'll bump you up a quarter point on your T-shirt sales on the thing, and shut the fuck up." And that's it.
It had to have been something like that, yeah. But he was definitely there.
It's that whole thing escalated way more than it should, and it just makes Ric Flair look completely stupid.
Yes.
You know, every time he starts to regain some footing and you think, well, he's going to be sane for a minute or two, he does something really just ridiculous.
Yeah, and at least back in the day, he did shit like that, and it took a while to know that he did it. Now it's like nowadays he does shit and you know about it instantly. You know,
it's just he can't, but it's almost like he can't help himself. And it was, you know, when he almost died a couple of summers ago,
you thought that would wake him up a little bit, you know.
Well, like, in some ways it has, but then another way he's just back to the money grubbing guy again. He's like,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
broke ass dude that he'll crawl across the floor for a buck, and it's just
but still charging $75 damn dollars to get your picture made with him.
Oh, it's just, what are you doing? And he's booking dates at like churches and shit. Did you hear about
what?
That? Yeah, like last year Conrad was talking about that. Like this big one of those big mega churches in Houston or Dallas or something, and they booked him.
To do what?
I don't know. To talk about how sorry he is that he fucked all those women? Just want to say. Woo!
So did he let the woo go in the sanctuary?
I'm sure he did. I saw an online ad for Tide with Keenan from Saturday Night Live and Melissa Villaseñor from Saturday Night Live. Yeah. And it had a Ric Flair cameo, and literally that's all he did was he did Woo.
Mm.
I mean, he's become that one-trick pony.
I was getting ready to say, man, it's come to that.
If this was Boogie Nights, we'd be, you know, at the end of the, like, the last 2 minutes of the movie where we finally get to see Dirk's dick. I mean, that's like, all right, pull it out. It's all you're good for, you old fucking asshole. And that's his dick. It's woo. I mean, it's completely sad. It's not like I'm expecting a lot. You know, I'm not expecting, well, here's Ric Flair with his paper on climate change at the UN General Assembly. No, I'm not expecting that.
Come on now, really?
But look at what happened on Monday Night Raw. Fucking Glenn Jacobs, who apparently that's his name now.
Yeah, we all knew that, right?
We all knew that. He's the mayor of Knoxville, and he gets to show everybody around Neyland Stadium and all that shit. You know, it was good. I thought all that stuff was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny, actually.
Glenn Jacobs is the kind of guy, personally, if he shows you any part of it, I think he's impossible to dislike.
Oh, I know. He does seem like a good dude, man.
I think that's part of why they had to put him behind a mask for all those years, because I don't know if he's not a natural heel by any stretch.
No, he doesn't come across that way.
And then I saw
his face kind of does, but his
mannerisms. Well, he's gonna be heelish because he's such a large guy, but he's really the gentle giant guy.
Yeah.
It's like he's like we were talking about in the Brad and Britcast. Cokie Roberts died today, and you can't find anybody to say anything bad about Cokie Roberts. Hi, I'm.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
Hi, I'm the president. God, really?
God dang it! I was so pissed when I saw that.
Hey, is it you go to Donald Trump? Hey, Trump, what do you think about pussy?
I don't know. Does it have to be so hairy?
Oh, come on! Everybody loves pussy.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's like he's.
Has been very nice to me.
Pussy was never good to me. Well, you came out of one. It was bad to all of us in that case.
Oh, are we sure about that? Or do we have a record on that?
That's a good. We might want to fact check that one.
Yes, we need to check all kinds of orifices he may have come out of.
So yeah, Glenn Jacobs is out there. You know, his post wrestling career. He started the school. Now, did Dr. Tom? Was Dr. Tom actually on Raw? Because I saw some pictures of him backstage.
I never saw him on Raw.
Okay, because I saw most of it. I didn't, but they showed him backstage with a few people, and Dr. Tom and Glenn Jacobs have their wrestling school.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Tom does not get enough credit for a lot of the guys who are very successful on the Raw. It's all on the Raw roster. A lot of people think, it's all NXT. Well, Seth Rollins and the former Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. I believe that was all FCW, and that was Tom Pritchard.
Yeah.
So.
Shit ton of people came out of that.
At that point in time, yeah. A lot of people did. And then that was before they decided, well, that sucked, and we have to blow that up and take it over to Orlando and do our thing.
Yeah.
So I just thought that Maria shit just completely destroyed Raw, and then having Baron. Although I guess the story, if you really want to say it, I mean, it was a good match, and Gable was able to kind of show a lot of his skill, and he almost caught Baron a couple times. So I guess you could say in some ways it elevated him, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you caught what happened between those two tonight.
Well, I saw him destroying the scepter and the crown and all that stuff. So he got his comeuppance.
I had flashbacks of Blackjack and Ric Flair.
How dare you?
I know.
How dare you tread on the good goddamn name of
I know, man. My bad.
There it is, slow motion. Just ripping that thing apart.
Well,
it almost looked like at the end of the King of the Ring, it was classic, like, okay, we're going to give this guy a chance. But then it was like, he's so much smaller than the other guy. We got to let the big guy win, right? I mean, that's what it felt like, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, man, it really is a heel gimmick. I don't know. The more I thought about it, the more a babyface walking around with the scepter and crown and all that shit just seems kind of pompous. So I can kind of see where where that, why they did it. And like I said, I'd come to grips with it pretty much from the time I saw the damn lineup, and at least after the first round when people were losing when they weren't supposed to.
AEW has revealed their bracket for the tag team title tournament.
Haven't seen that.
Today's episode of The Road to TNT featured Tony Schiavone revealing the bracket for the 7-team tournament. You know, I'm very curious as to what they were offering him at WWE.
Like money-wise?
No, what jobs? I think he said on Conrad's podcast this thing would be want to produce stuff, maybe for the network and stuff like that. And I just wonder if Bruce was trying to get him to do that, and maybe that's what the offer was. But then Cody made it sound like, whoa, I am not going to let you sign with WWE. Fuck that. Let me get you in touch with this billionaire friend of mine who owns a football team. So I don't know. I would just be very curious.
Well, which one? Do you think that's what he'd want to do, like off-camera shit?
Sounded like that's what he wanted to do a couple of years ago. He's not.
But nowadays, you think he would?
I think Tony would be perfectly okay with never announcing another wrestling match. I think he'd be perfectly okay with it.
Okay.
I do not think the same is true of JR. I don't think that.
Do you think JR's going like go into depression or anything?
Go to depression when he has to finally like.
Yeah, when he finally has to just go give it up.
Yeah, I think he will. I think it's going to be tough for him. I mean, he's got family and stuff, and he's got, you know, so much has happened to him over the past few years.
Yeah, not all good either.
Well, I think he's. I just don't think he ever did. I don't think he ever mourned properly. I don't think he went through all the steps and stuff. And I don't know.
It didn't seem like it, did it?
No. And then there were those reports of him drinking during the New Japan stuff when they were in Long Beach and shit like that. And it was weird. But I hope, you know. And when you met him, you seemed like he was in a good place for the 2 minutes you spent with him.
Sort of. Couldn't tell. It was kind of hard to tell.
Obviously.
I thought about it, I wish I hadn't opened up to him like I did. I shouldn't have told him what the whole Twitter thing and all that. So I should have just played stupid.
I'm good at playing dumb.
Normally I am too. That was just a bad call. I was trying to be Mr. Honest guy, you know. I felt kind of two-faced, you know, after saying that and whatever. And then, hey, can I have your picture? But I didn't. I mean, I wasn't trying to be an asshole. I was responding to Michael Moore's tweet,
and
he retweeted what I was my response. He didn't retweet Michael Moore's tweet. So I mean,
the proper context wasn't there.
I guess. I mean, it's like I'm not trying to blame it on Michael, but I'm just saying, he just seemed kind of thin skinned, and that's exactly what I put. I said he seems a little thin skinned these days, but. I forgot what Mike's post was or his tweet was, but that was basically my response. And I was like, I probably shouldn't have put it, but I didn't mean it in the fact of he's just a thin skinned old bastard. I mean, he's just thin skinned because of what you just said. It's like shit's happened to him. You know, my skin would be pretty thin too.
Well, that was
but no Ross.
You know, that's why Pritchard said that they would always pick on him all the time when he was with WWE's because he always sold. He always would like they knew it would bother him and they would get a reaction out of it.
Well, okay, that's even better. That makes my point even better. You know, he's thin skinned about being called thin skinned.
If he would have just played off some of that shit, then I mean, the stuff that Vince did over the years was pretty awful in terms of tormenting him and stuff like that. I mean, there was the one time when they were doing the draft or whatever, and they didn't tell him it was moving from one show to the other, and they just did it anyway. Just to get the reaction on camera, you know, to get him pissed off on camera. And then he was like, it was one of those deals. They were either in Dallas and they were flying to Houston or vice versa. And he refused to get on the plane because he was so pissed.
Man. And
they're like, God, dude, quit being such a baby. Get on the fucking plane. God. And JR should be like, you shut the fuck up or I'll cough in your face, motherfucker. I'll sneeze and cough right in your face, fucker. By God, he coughed in his face. By God, he's got MRSA. God damn it. Sneezing. God, boogers. Blah.
MRSA.
It's like Vince McMahon tries to be this guy, pump all this iron and all this shit. And, you know, with a fucking huge chest and big biceps. And you just get him by going, chew. That's all you got to do.
I have to keep that in mind just in case we're in the same room.
Well, you know what I thought the other day, because you and I were talking about Bobby, when we met Bobby Eaton and everything, and we're talking about Alabama football, and I said to Bobby, you know, it would really bum me out, obviously, when Kenny Stabler died because he was my favorite player of all time. Bobby could, yeah. Bobby's got an extremely weak stomach. Have you ever heard Jim Cornette talk about that?
Yes, yes.
So what I thought is I could, like, pretend to eat a booger, and it was now don't do that. If anybody's got Bobby Eaton at some autograph show or something, don't do some shit like that and try to make him puke, because he'll do it. He'll vomit and it'll ruin the show. So don't do that.
Well, see,
shit.
If you do it, I could get the camera ready to go and get the whole
thing right. This would go viral, man. We'll get like 18,000 fucking downloads and shit on our stuff. Watch, I'm gonna eat this booger, and Bobby be like, be like a cat trying to.
Bobby Eaton pukes at WrestleCade.
God damn it, why'd you make Bobby cute, motherfucker? I'm gonna beat your ass, motherfucker. Goddamn Bobby puke. Don't do that shit, motherfucker.
Damn, that thing on Jordan Grace that he did that you sent me. Jesus.
So you finally got to hear him calling her Butterface.
God. And it really didn't sound that bad. I mean, it just sounded like a Cornette.
Well, his explanation of, like, I didn't really mean that her face was ugly. It was like, so, I can't remember how he said it, but it was like, no, that's not a good explanation. You just shut the fuck up. Because like, he goes, hey, Brian, what's your definition of butterface? And Brian goes, well, it's a girl whose body looks good, but her face is all fucked up. Which is like, that's the standard
that's
definition.
That's what I thought, too.
That's what we did. And I'm not, you know, again, I'm not endorsing that and saying that's great or whatever, but that's what it was. That's how you would say.
But see, I think he was saying that the people that were defending her, a lot of them were saying that butter, you know, butter and fat. She was fat.
Yeah, that's right. He was like, so my response to that was, that's right, Jim. You just called her ugly. You didn't call her fat. Congratulations.
Good job.
Because I was listening to that again when I was like in the store listening to some shit. I was like, oh, okay. So this is going to be your explanation for this is no. I didn't call her fat. I just called her ugly. Well, bravo. Let me just thank
you.
Well,
my bad.
The Gloria Steinem Feminist Award for 2019 goes to. Yeah, the Gloria Steinem Feminist Award of 2019 goes to Jim Cornette and the guy that tried to grab Sasha Banks' ass but missed in Charlotte, North Carolina on Sunday night.
It was a dead heat.
So let's see. The Dark Order have a first round bye in this AEW tag team tournament. Evil Uno and Stu Grayson already got the first round bye.
Okay.
Left side of the bracket is Bucks, Private Party, and Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, which is pretty spectacular. That's pretty good. Uh-huh. So it's going to be Matt and Nick versus the Private Party, which is Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy. Then the Lucha Brothers against Jurassic Express. God damn.
Is that Luchasaurus and Jack Marco Perry. Stunt? Okay, yeah.
Luchasaurus is so fucking over right now, it's not even funny.
Oh, God, yeah.
Luchasaurus is as over as anybody in that company, I think, right now. I mean,
that's weird. I got to see him, man. It was weird. He was at that ROH show that Bruce and I went to.
How did you guys see him?
He was in like some 6-man tag team match. It was like him and that dude. I can't think of his name. I forgot to. I think the other two were. I don't even remember who it was now. Just some random 6-man match.
Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy got their spot in the tournament by winning a fan vote over Jack Evans and Angelico.
Man,
Jack Evans and Angelico is attacked.
God dang.
I know, right?
Angelico, to me, man, still to this day, has the best move ever on Lucha Underground, ever. That damn, you went back and saw it, I thought.
I
when
did,
I told
yeah,
you.
It was incredible.
Oh, God almighty.
I thought he was dead.
I did too.
I thought the guy, he's dead, by God.
I swear, man, that tops anything. That's got to be top three anything I've ever seen.
It was pretty crazy. As far as a single move, that was pretty insane.
Who has done that?
I don't know.
I mean, Seth Rollins, I guess, that one time when they were going up against, who was it? That feud they had back when, was it Triple H and somebody?
Yeah, it was Triple H and those guys.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle like stood in for him that time.
That's right. And Rollins jumped off that railing thing right there on the, went down like to the stairwell of the Coliseum thing that they were in.
That was nuts.
But that still didn't hold a candle to fucking Angelico going off the damn balcony
into the
ring.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No.
Goddamn mud show bullshit. Goddamn.
That's the equivalent to me of like when you're in a hotel room at the beach or something, you know, there's a pool down there and you're looking at the pool going, I wonder if I could jump off of this rail and make the pool. That's pretty much what I was thinking when he did that.
Bucks versus Private Party taking place on week 2 of AEW television. That's Wednesday, October the 9th. So their first week is going to be October the 2nd. That's going to be a crazy ass week right there.
Coming up soon.
And that's going to start an unbelievable cycle. So it's going to be Raw on Monday, NXT and AEW on Wednesday, and then the draft starts on the 11th. The 4th is the first episode with that SmackDown 20th anniversary reunion in Los Angeles and the Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston thing. So that's going to be all that week.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
So week 2 of AEW is Bucks versus Private Party. Lucha Brothers versus Jurassic Express takes place on week 3. That's October the 16th. The right side of the bracket is SoCal Uncensored with the Freebird Rule against Best Friends, Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor.
Your boy.
That's a good one. I'm so bummed that Beretta and Romero weren't in that tag team longer than they were.
I know.
I mean, I thought Roppongi Vice, I thought that thing had legs, dude.
Yeah, I know. You liked them a lot.
Those guys are. I saw them on ROH one time, and they were. Man, they had a fucking great match on ROH one time, maybe against the Briscoes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think it was the Briscoes. I may have seen that one.
Those guys are good. That match is also set for October 16th. The winning team will face the Dark Order in the semifinals. Both semifinal matches will be held in week 4 of AEW TV. That's Wednesday, October the 23rd. The finals will take place on week 5 of AEW TV. That's Wednesday, October the 30th, with the winning tag team becoming the inaugural AEW Tag Team Champions. And that's one of the things that either Matt or Nick, and I can't tell them apart that much, but I should be able to. They said during StarCast that if a tag team match is like the best thing they got going, that could close their television. That could be the main event of their TV show.
It should be.
I mean, that's what they said. It could be a women's match, could be a tag team match, could be whatever.
Yeah. I figured they would have that at the championship for the tag team. I thought they would have that at the next pay-per-view, but, you know, whatever. And we still haven't heard for sure if LAX is coming in for sure, have we?
Not at all. No. I think it's been speculated on.
We're pretty sure that's who Jericho's partners are going to be.
That's what they're trying to hint toward. Unless they're trying to swerve us big time, it would just make sense. Yeah.
I just hadn't heard much about it lately, so I didn't know.
This is good. Fox released an advertisement with former NASCAR driver Jeff Gordon to promote SmackDown's move to Fox.
Jeff Gordon? Jeez.
Yeah, really. It's like, let's use wrestlers that haven't wrestled in 15 years, and let's use a guy that hasn't been in the sport for at least 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, really?
Well, but NASCAR's got the same problem as fucking WWE has. Nobody knows who their stars are. They got Jimmy Johnson.
And I'm one of them.
They got Jimmy Johnson. He's still there. He's like the John Cena. Because he truly is like the John Cena of NASCAR because he just about killed the fucking sport. Just like John Cena. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I apologize to John Cena. Jimmy Johnson is the Roman Reigns of NASCAR. He just about killed the fucking sport. I know that's very politically incorrect to say these days.
That's okay. You're allowed it once in a while.
It's Jimmy Johnson and it's Kevin Harvick. Like those people are kind of known entities. Otherwise, all those guys, they look exactly the same. They're like interchangeable country singers to me. You put a skinny guy in a slim t-shirt with a cowboy hat on stage, that's a country singer to me. And I don't know if it's Jason Aldean. I don't know if it's Brantley Gilbert.
He's kind of a big dude, isn't he?
I have no idea. I can't tell any of them apart. I have no idea. They're all the same guy to me.
Bradley Gilbert, is that what you said?
Yes, Bradley Gilbert. I don't know. I don't know these people. And the NASCAR guys, Richard Childress's grandson, they're all 5'7 dudes with short haircuts, scruffy beards, white guys, except for that Bubba Wallace guy who drives for Petty. He's a little darker complexion than the other guys, but they're all the same thing.
5'7", 5'8", 150 pounds, and they're white guys, and they look like some dude that you would see hanging out at the convenience store after the football game on Friday night.
That sounds about right to me, I guess.
It's the exact same thing, but they gotta use Jeff Gordon, because they can't use, well, Kevin Harvick. Who the fuck? What? I saw some of the Dale Earnhardt Jr. thing on Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I saw some of that.
It's pretty good. They wanted to make sure they had a disclaimer saying we did all this stuff before. You know, he almost died in a plane crash.
I did see that. Yes, I did see that part.
Stone Cold had a hard time getting the goddamn, how am I going to get in this car? I should have taken my yoga leg, goddamn. So he can't get in the car.
Well, see, that's why those dudes you're talking about were 5'8", 5'7", and skinny.
Well, you do. I mean, it's true. Like, you remember Jimmy Spencer?
Yes.
He's a fat guy.
He's a big dude.
There's very few fat guys that can exist in that. He's one of them. And then very few tall guys. And Michael Waltrip.
Yep.
Michael Waltrip's fucking, I think he's like 6'3", 6'4", or something like that. And he's, you know, you just don't see guys. Like, he had to crumple his ass up in that car. By
you know
the way,
he had to. Heck yeah.
I saw a great documentary last week. It's called In the Blink of an Eye, and it's based on a New York Times bestseller of the same name, and it's about Michael Waltrip's relationship with Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Huh.
It's really very good. I think it was one of those Fathom events at the movie theater. But
okay. It's
if you get a chance to see it, it's fantastic. And the history is very good. And Michael Waltrip ends up being he fucking lived with Richard Petty. He's like a kid, 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever, and he's just entering the sport and stuff, and he's hanging out. He got a job with Petty Enterprises, and knowing how cheap those bastards are, they paid him about $3 an hour.
Maybe.
I mean, it's dear God in heaven. And Richard Petty was really a pioneer. He started underpaying people before Mexicans ever came to this country. It's really the guy was revolutionary.
Richard Petty.
So he would finish up work there in Level Cross, and apparently he was rooming with Kyle. Kyle lives over in Baden Lake, which is a fur piece away. I think it was Linda, Richard's wife, goes, it's too far for you to go over there. Why don't you stay here with us? So they stayed. He said, I'm popping popcorn and watching Johnny Carson with, you know, Richard Petty at night.
How weird is that?
I know. It's like, God, this is insane. He's just hanging out, and he's like, Petty goes, you don't waste your time with those Grand Am cars and shit. You don't need to do that. Just go to the top. And even if you have to drive shitty cars when you're at the Winston Cup level.
I think I might listen to his advice, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay.
if you say so.
It's pretty remarkable.
I didn't know all that. That's pretty cool.
On Raw last night, David Meltzer reports it was officially confirmed the wild card rule will be going away after the next month's draft. So they will have strict guidelines and barriers that will keep people on each show. Now, Bryant Williams, how long do you think that will stay in effect?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would be shocked if it stayed in effect for the whole year, but I don't know.
They've got a note here about WWE Shop releasing new T-shirts for a bunch of NXT wrestlers. Do you see Cameron Grimes get his first T-shirt?
I did not.
He does, yeah. He's got his first T-shirt.
When are you going to get it? Have you already ordered it?
No, I think I'm going to stick with the Trevor Lee T-shirt. I think that's going to be my ode to the past. I was there since day one, so I'm going to keep with that one.
Oh, okay.
It's not anything that special. I'm going to wait till he gets a catchphrase and all that other shit.
Yeah, well, you know, when he goes to the main roster, his name will just be Grimes. So just wait for that one.
Grimy. WWE has recently filed trademarks, it says, for Boa and the Disrespected. I don't know what that means. Charlotte Flair and Ric Flair took part in a Q&A for Cricket Wireless.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. Go back and say they did what? Now they
Boa, B-O-A.
Okay.
And the Disrespected. They filed trademarks for that.
I bet you that's going to be Rowan and Harper's new names.
The Disrespected?
I bet you.
Well, that's Disrestupid.
Well.
That's what we're going to call them?
I guess. I mean, why would they trademark that?
I'd fucking call them Cabin Fever. That's what I would call them.
Why don't we just say the Bludgeon Brothers?
Yeah, that's true. The Bludgeon Brothers wouldn't be bad. Just go back to that.
I like that, but they're not going to do that because they haven't mentioned that name yet.
I'd call them the Cabin Boys or Cabin Fever. That's what I'd call those fuckers.
Cabin Boys? What am I missing on this?
Well, they look like they live in a cabin or something, don't they? Don't they look like they live out in the woods or some shit like that?
Yeah.
What I'd call them.
The Unabombers.
God damn it, Unabomber.
God damn it, that's what I called Kane when he was over at Smoky Mountain. Called him Unabomber. God damn. That's basically me doing Pritchard's really awful imitation of Cornette.
God that did damn. Sound very Pritchard-ish at the end.
The latest episode of 10 Pounds of Gold announced an NWA world title match between Nick Aldis and Tim Storm for their September 30th television tapings at Atlanta. First of two straight nights for tapings at the GPB studios for a show that no one knows where it's going to air.
Still in the dark on that one. Now, Tim Storm, was that the guy he beat to get the belt? Is that right?
I think that's correct.
Okay.
You may be a little more on top of this than I am.
I just remember the name. I couldn't pick the guy out of a lineup, probably, but I just remember the name and people talking about him and stuff.
After Big Cass apologized for the incident he was involved with at WrestlePro Show this past Saturday, he says he's going to seek professional help, Brian. He's going to try to get professional help.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the apology thing.
You know what would go a long way toward helping him out? Separating himself from that 5-foot-nothing shithead that's next to him most of the time.
I think that would probably work wonders, yes.
I believe that's about 90% of Big Cass's problems, is that little dick is over there being the dick that he is and egging him on and just being, I think he's an enabler. I think he enables that guy.
I wouldn't doubt it. He's pretty useless, it sounds like.
God, he's just dreadful. I think Cass has maybe some redeeming qualities or something.
Yeah, I never really had a problem with Cass. I don't think anybody did that I know of.
Well, Carmelo. Well,
Corey Graves.
He cries himself to sleep every night. Like,
I couldn't blame him if he did, but you know.
So Kevin Matthews tweeted he believes in second chances. He'll book Cass again as soon as he's good to go. Enzo Amore sent out a tweet supporting Cass. Blah.
Now it's Kevin Matthews. Do we know? Is this KM? Is this the same Kevin Matthews?
I don't think so.
You know who I'm talking about with Falaba and all? Okay, I didn't know. I know Kevin Matthews. That name could be 1,000 people, but
he's
a wrestler, I think,
one. And he also works. I think he's taken over. He and Pat Buck did that promotion together, I think.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Oh, this is good. Michael Elgin versus Naomichi Marufuji, now official for Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory paper. Why do people feel the need to book Elgin? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
After all the, I don't understand that. With the Me Too movement, all this shit, it just wears off. But then it's like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I saw that's why that girl Moses. That's why she was so upset on Twitter about this is great. You fuckers take over a channel. You got this new lease on life. You should really listen to that Jericho episode with Don and with
Which
Scott.
One?
The one with Don and Scott on there where they're crowing about, all you people that said we were dead, fuck all y'all. It's like,
that'll bring people back.
I get it, and I understand how you want to be in your face with it, but you guys are still behind the eight ball, and you suck a bag of ass. So I don't think you should be out there celebrating. It's like when Michigan celebrated after beating Army in double overtime. At the big house?
Yeah, it's like,
dude,
yay.
You might want to just cheer down, as the great George Harrison said.
Yeah, that was...
you shouldn't be quite that happy about this.
Well, I mean, and like I said before, too, man, just because you got on Access TV doesn't mean you're alive and at live at 5. You might not be dead, but that Access isn't exactly... TNT or USA.
No, I'm happy for. I really am happy.
And me too. But don't be crowing.
Don't act like, well, you showed you motherfucker. No, you didn't. Your parent company is still a bunch of twats. They have no idea what they're doing. I'm super glad that you got and your revenue streams. I pissed more than you made last year. So stop it.
And you're fucking over Killer Cross.
Yeah, in the biggest way possible.
And you just let Scholar Bordeaux walk.
Honestly, apples to apples, I think MLW is kicking their ass as far as creativity and everything else.
I think so, too. Yeah. Especially their base of fans. MLW's fan base seems to be pretty rabid.
It's just this whole everybody's against us, everybody's trying to kill us off. They've been doing that since before Dixie. And it's very Trumpian, and everybody's against me, and the media's against me, and blah, blah, blah. Dave Meltzer's against me. Jesus is against me. Attila the Hun's against me. It just gets It's so fucking old. You guys, if you look in the mirror, that's always been your problem at Impact. Every single time. And then they make one more deal to save their asses, and they act like, well, okay, haters, suck on my dick. And it's like, no, this barely gets you out of any trouble at all.
And then now you still got to prove yourself.
I just got a payday loan to pay my mortgage. So fuck all y'all who said I couldn't pay my... Well, yeah, but you still have to pay off that loan, you dick. You didn't do shit, and you're paying like 150% interest. So what did you do? I don't understand that. And it's just... It's a successive group of people who act like they have some idea about how to do something with the company, and they just... Even Jeff Jarrett. You know, Jeff Jarrett's fatal sin was like, well, I got to get Vince Russo in here for this. And from there, yeah, it was death. Again, I don't even know if Jeff and his dad would have had all the problems they've had over the past 15 years if Jeff doesn't make that one fatal flaw move that his buddy Vince Russo had to come in and write shit.
Well, I think that's the genesis of the whole thing, was calling it TNA.
Yeah, and then they try to tell Jerry, no, it's not tits and ass. No, that's not what we're going for. No, it's total nonstop action. It's not. And of course, they were lying because it was like an inside
yeah, of course.
Joke. Oh, it's so fucking funny, guys. And it's just typical Russo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so typical.
And I know Jeff and Jerry had their problems anyway for whatever reason, but Jesus Christ, if you take Vince Russo out of your life, Jeff, how much pain could you have just taken out of your life at that point?
God, man, just... We might be, it might have been on a whole different trajectory if Russo had never.
Oh, my God. If you would have just divorced yourself, that if you subtract that one piece of shit, which brought another piece of shit with it, it was like a floater in Ed Ferrara.
A floater.
This week's MLW Fusion episode has been uploaded to YouTube. The War Chamber match between Tom Lawler, Ross Von Erich, Marshall Von Erich, and Low-Key. With Kevin Von Erich and Contra Unit, Jacob Fatu, Joseph Samuel, Simon Gotch, and Akira Kwan aired on the show. Well, I need to watch that then.
That sounds good.
Really good. I love Jacob Fatu a lot.
Yeah.
I love that guy. And I loved, didn't you like those matches that we saw with Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I could watch those guys wrestle 100 million times.
God, I just feel like they're just wasting away. Not really Jacob Fatu as much as Jeff or Cobb right now. In ROH.
Cobb seems like he's kind of stalled out a little bit, but I think the guy's amazing.
Well, he's because he's in ROH.
Yeah. Every time they crank up another, you know, when PWG goes into action and they do their shit, it's like that's Jeff Cobb's time to come out and just start kicking ass over everybody, yeah, showing everybody he's the fucking man.
God, bring Jeff Cobb up and like him and Samoa Joe.
That would be like, that would be some sick shit right there.
God, or have him team up with the Samoa Joe as the new Samoans and taking on like AOP. Oh my God.
Put Jacob Fatu together with the Usos.
See?
Oh man. Come on now. Come on now.
Oh hell.
That's some crazy shit.
But I've heard that Jacob Fatu was kind of had his eyeballs on, you know, WWE, but that, I know, it could have just been talk, but I don't know. Well, but he's hot, man.
He could do it.
Oh, God, yeah.
He could do it,
so,
man.
So should Jeff Cobb could, too. Easy. Oh,
absolutely. I love me some Jeff Cobb. Good God. Any other tidbits that caught your eye that interested you?
I finally caught an episode of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood the other night, and I didn't know of hardly any of those dudes. Man, it'd been so long since I'd seen that. I'm so ashamed of myself for kind of being out of the loop on those dudes. But I think I told you, like, Reno Scum was like the only team that I'd heard of. Everybody else was just total new people, that indie guys, I guess, from around, you know, LA area or something. But it was good. I couldn't tell you one of those guys' names right now to save my life. But yeah, I'll keep watching. I'll try to keep watching, and because I still think that's an underrated deal out there.
It is. And was Tito on there at all?
No, didn't see Tito. I'm assuming he's still out there doing that. I don't know. I hadn't seen it so long, but I never heard his name. But it was just one episode, so I don't know.
I think the last time I saw Tito, I think a picture of him, it seemed like he's leaned down a lot, lost some weight.
Yeah, kind of Luke Harper on us.
Yeah, the Luke Harper diet, dude. I think the Luke Harper diet is you just eat 3 servings of your own beard hair every day.
Just eat the crumbs from your beard that's been left over from the past 10 years. You'd survive on it.
Don't you think those guys look like people who would live in a cabin?
God, yes.
The cabin boys. Let's call them cabin boys. Let's do some vignettes. It'd be great, bro. Ah.
And like have them come out like Cabana boys.
That's the other thing is Vince Russo has all these explanations for all the bullshit they did to make it sound like it's not. Has he ever explained beaver cleavage? Because I don't think there's any defense at all for that.
Damn, I forgot all about beaver cleavage.
Oh, that shit was the worst. It was the dirt worst shit ever.
God, how obvious can you be there?
It was bad, bro. I wonder if he was smoking weed like he is now.
Well, good chance. He was eating those Twizzlers when you saw him, so.
Yeah. God, that guy. What a disgusting. You know, he deserves to live in Charlotte, honestly.
It's tailor made for his ass.
If I could pick a place for Vince Russo to live, it would be Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's too close to us, though.
It is, but it he can stay there, and he'll never make it up here because the traffic's too terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
Such a toxic, awful city. It's really the Philadelphia of the South.
Really, hey, Phillies fans, how are you?
Philadelphia is a dreadful place. And again, Charlotte's not on that level, but it's, you know, the closest thing we can get to around here is Charlotte.
Yeah, you have to travel pretty far to find something worse.
The thing that got me about the Phillies fans, and you could talk about booing Santa Claus and booing Michael Irvin and all the other shit, they talked about and having the, you know, the holding cell at the bottom of Veterans Stadium where you could actually arraign people, which did exist. It's like they talk about the 500 level up at Veterans Stadium. There was a dude one time, and I think this happened more than once, that vomited on a child intentionally. Like put his finger down his throat and puked on a kid. Because he was pissed at him. I know, right? These are dreadful people.
Yeah, that's pretty putrid right there.
I think it's the South Jersey influence. I think I mean, like I said, it's West Camden. I've called it West Camden on many occasions. But it's yes, there are stories about guys forcing themselves to vomit on children because they were pissed at them for some reason or other.
Wow. I
mean, they're the worst.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Worst. Absolutely. Wow.
It sounds like Maryland fans.
But you know, it was great because the Maryland fans were actually a nice bludgeoning against Duke, and it was using the Bruce Mitchell theory of any tool in the shed.
Yes.
There you go.
It was any tool in the shed.
Those guys were tools. That's for damn sure.
Complete.
Did they get beat by Temple, or did they come back and win that game?
I think they lost.
Good. Fuck them.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And again, that's another tool in the shed because that's Philadelphia working against Maryland in this case.
Look at that. How about that?
Look at that. You can bring it all the way around. Follow Bryant on Twitter and Instagram. He's very followable. Lots and lots of 20,000 followers now on Twitter. Is that right?
Yes, something like that.
At Bry Sports, BRY Sports. It's the same thing on Twitter and Instagram. I am on Twitter at Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE. On Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, B-D-U-B, number 4, R-E-E-L-Z. And the show can be followed on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. And you can shop at our Amazon store. That's a great way to support us. It's katievick.com, katievick.com. Till next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.